Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now, once again, we're in Galatians chapter 5. Today we study Love Grows Where the Stream Flows. Here's Paul Chapel.
Do you ever read the newspaper or watch the news and find yourself asking, whatever happened to love? Whatever happened to people that met other people's needs? Whatever happened to people trying to help people in this day in which we live? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is what we're studying today, and the first fruit is called love. And the fruit of the Spirit is that fruit that comes from God Himself. It is a fruit or a characteristic that illustrates that we are connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus is the vine and that we are the branches. And so when we are connected to the Lord Jesus, since He is love, then flowing from Him comes the power and the ability and the attributes that we need to live our lives. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're going to talk today about a love that you can't try hard enough to produce. You can't plan enough to produce. This is not your kind of love we're talking about today. This is the love that is God's love through you. In fact, in your notes there in 1 John 4 and verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And so when people are exhibiting the kind of love we're going to see today, it is because God is in them. And by the way, I hope that you have been born again by the Spirit. I hope that God is living in you today and that you are saved and on your way to heaven. And if you're not, listen to this message this morning and open your heart to the Lord even today. Now, I've noticed in my observations of our culture and in various years of counseling that a lot of people, young and old, in our society are starving for love. They're looking for love, as one songwriter said, in all the wrong places. Madeline Murray O'Hare vanished back in 1995, and many of you remember her crusade to get prayer out of the public schools. And it was interesting when they went into her home there in Texas, they found her diary. And in Madeline Murray O'Hare's diary, page after page after page, she wrote these words, "Somebody, somewhere, please love me." We do not know the roots of all of that and where she first felt her rejection and whether or not that was related to her crusade against God and against prayer, but we know that she was crying out to be loved. Rock star Tina Turner, years ago in a song that she popularized, said that love is nothing but a secondhand emotion. Now, that's about as good as the world can do when it comes to love. It's something that they can't seem to find. And when they find something that's a resemblance to God's love, it's never quite good enough. It's just a second-hand emotion. So this morning, I don't want us to get our definition of love from poetry or from music or from the best plans or words of some man. I want us this morning to come to the Word of God and to understand from Him what love is all about. Let's notice this morning, first of all, the definition of love. The definition of love. And let's see it defined in language. The definition of love in language. Now, in the Greek language, there are three words for love. There are three Greek words that describe three different kinds of love. And in your notes this morning, let me give them to you very quickly. First of all, there is the word eros. Eros is a sensual love. It is the root from which we get the word erotic. This word is never found in the Bible. It is a Greek word for love, but it is not found in the Bible. It is a fleshly, sensual kind of love. It is the kind that many people are turning to, but still feeling very empty when their one-night stand is over. That's why we often tell young people, be wary of puppy love. It can lead you to a dog's life. You see, a relationship that is founded on eros is a relationship that is going nowhere fast. So the first Greek word is eros. The second Greek word is philos. Philos, P-H-I-L-O-S. And philos is a social kind of love or a brotherly kind of love. We come to the word Philadelphia and the city of brotherly love. Or perhaps you've heard the word philanthropy. People who are concerned about the brotherhood of man and giving to help make a better society in which we might live. And that's the second word, philos. Then there's the third Greek word, and that's the word found in Galatians 5:22. That's the word agape, A-G-A-P-E, agape love. It is a high-level, God-oriented, divine kind of love. Agape love is the deliberate effort with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek the worst for us. Agape love is the kind of love that you see when you remember Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin. He was seeking your best even when you had never had your first thought about Him. That is agape love. Agape love is a wonderful high form of love. When I think of love, I like to think about moms. I think moms know how to love their kids in a special way. I think of moms getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a screaming little boy who has an ear infection and holding him through the night. It's not because she feels like doing that, but it's because she's made a commitment to do that. She has made a decision to love. And you can take a mom's love and times it by a million, and you might start to approach the love that God has for you. It is agape love. So defined in language, it is a godly love. It's agape love. And then defined secondly in the Scriptures. God is love, the Bible says. When we try to understand love in the Scriptures, we learn that God is love. Now notice in your notes there, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now isn't that amazing? Let's say that together. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for His very essence is love. Now we've seen some weird ideas about God in recent years. Why, we have heard of a God that will reward people for killing Christians, Jews, and Americans and give them a special place up in heaven. I got to tell you something, that's not the God we're talking about today. We're not in here talking about Allah. We're not talking about a God who rewards murder. We're talking about a God who is love by his very essence. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old time unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. This love is from vanishing point to vanishing point. You can never get away from the love of God for you. God is love, and God's love is everlasting. John 13 and verse 1, Jesus said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew what his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, listen to this, he loved them unto the end. He loved them all the way. Jesus loved his disciples unto the very end. Now, I want to tell you this morning that emotional love, eros, philos, those kinds of love, they will fade away. But agape love will never fade away. It is agape love that causes a husband to stay with his wife during times of severe illness and times of various handicaps, and causes a husband or a wife to love in that kind of a way. I heard about a wife that was by her husband's side as he came out of a very serious surgery. She was there at his bedside, and he had been under anesthesia, of course, and had various tubes and such down his throat, and he was in a lot of pain. And finally, as this man began to blink his eyes and flutter his eyes just a little bit, he looked there, and he realized it was his wife sitting by his side, and he said in kind of a muttering, stammering way, "You are beautiful." Well, that encouraged her, and so she stayed there several more hours by his side, and after a while, he woke up again, and he looked up at his wife, and he said, "You're cute." And she said, "What happened to beautiful?" And he said, "The drugs are wearing off." Now, even as the drugs can wear off sometime, the fact of the matter is that emotional love wears off. But the kind of love that the Holy Spirit gives you doesn't wear off. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It will never wear out. So the definition of love, how many of you get the idea? The love we're talking about today is much higher than this secondhand emotion kind of love. It's a love that only God can put into your heart. Secondly, I want you to see the description of love. The description of love. Now, time's not going to give us a lot in the way of defining and giving the description, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because you can't talk about God's love without going to 1 Corinthians 13. And so I just want you to come there with me very quickly, and maybe this will spark some interest for you to study it more in the weeks to come. But let's get as much as we can in these few moments together, because what we want to hear is God's commentary on love. You know, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. The best way to understand the Bible is to cross-reference to other portions of the Bible, not what a priest or a pastor or a book says, but what God says about his word. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, by way of introduction, I want you to see in these three verses three very quick thoughts. And you can write these in your notes. First of all, without biblical love, our words are empty. Without biblical love, our words are empty. Verse 1 says, your words are like a sounding brass. Dong, just empty. There's nothing to what you're saying. And I don't understand this exactly, but ladies seem to know when you're just saying something and when you're really saying something. I don't know how to discern that exactly, but ladies seem to know that. And without love, these words are just, they're just like a sounding brass. Secondly, without biblical love, our motivation is weak. Our motivation is weak. You might preach, you might have faith, you might move mountains, but without biblical love, the motivation is very, very weak. You're doing it for the wrong reason. And then thirdly, without biblical love, our deeds have little impact. Our deeds have little impact. The Bible says you can give all your goods to the poor, verse 3, but without love, it profiteth nothing. It's just a show. You're doing it for a tax deduction. You're doing it to make yourself look good. If you don't really love, it's really of little impact. And so we see in the Word of God, the necessity of the right kind of love. Now then, Let's look specifically, beginning with verse number 4, at the description of this biblical love. And notice, first of all, that we will see the helpfulness of biblical love. If you're taking notes, the helpfulness of biblical love. The first few characteristics of love show us how helpful it will be. Verse 4 says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that this love is a helpful love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Here we see then, first of all, that love is patient. And the word suffereth long means slowness of anger. In fact, I loved the study of this word. You can look it up yourself in a Strong's Concordance or something. But suffereth long comes from two Greek words, makrothermos, which means long time to boil. Suffereth long time to boil. Now, do you know anybody that is quick time to boil? Do you know anybody that has a short what? Fuse. I mean, man, you just say the wrong thing. You just step on the wrong carpet. You know, you just utter the wrong word, and it's all over. But the shouting and World War III has just begun. That is the opposite of love. Charity suffereth long. Charity is patient. It's like the quote I heard years ago. It simply said, "To dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, now that's another story." Now, folks, God doesn't want you to wait till you get to heaven to get along with people. He wants you to know how to love people right here and right now. I had a lady tell me one time, "My husband is so temperamental. He is 90% temper and 10% mental." Now, that's a bad combination. But when you have the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you're going to be able to have love even with Mr. Temperamental. Acts 7:59 tells us a story about Stephen. And in verse 60, it says, "And he kneeled down." This is when Stephen was being stoned to death as the first martyr of the church. And he kneels down. Stones are coming against him. And he says, "Lord, lay not this to their charge." How many of you know there was great power from the Holy Spirit? There was great love in Stephen's heart to say, "Lord, these guys that are killing me right now, don't blame them for this." He was a man filled with the love of God. Romans 12:17 says, "Recompense no man evil for evil." And so we see the greatness of love. It is patient. It is a patient love. Secondly, love is kind. Verse 4 says, love is patient. Not only is love suffer long, but it says, and is kind. Now, just as patience will take things from others that are sometimes harsh, kindness will give things to others even when they are harsh. And by the way, I think the first test of kindness is found in the home. Are you kind at home? I don't care how you treat a secretary. I don't care how you treat someone at work. I want to know how you treat your wife, your husband, your kids. That's where kindness needs to begin, in the home. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Now, guys, I don't know why this is, but it seems to me that sometimes men are slower at being kind. It's just not our nature. It seems like sometimes the Lord has to hit us over the forehead with a 2x4 to remind us to be kind. My wife is such a kind person. A lot of times I'll get up in the morning, she'll have already my toothbrush out there with little toothpaste on it. Either she's kind or she's tired of bad breath. I'm not sure which, but she'll put a little note there, "Hope you have a good day." She'll go down and find which Bible I was reading that night before, and she'll put a little note in there, "I sure love you. Thank you for being a wonderful husband." She is kind that way. And love expresses itself in kindness that way. And so here we see that God is telling us that Christian love, agape love, is a helpful love. It is long-suffering, it is patient, and it is kind. Notice, secondly, not only the helpfulness of this kind of love, but the humility of Christian love. The humility of Christian love. Come back to verse 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not." So we see here that love is not jealous. Love is not anxious against someone. But in fact, love and jealousy are mutually exclusive. You cannot love someone and be jealous of them at the same time. You know what you need to practice doing when someone gets blessed with a promotion or some possession or their kids are blessed? You need to practice being happy for them, because love is not jealous. You cannot say you love someone while you resent them being blessed. And I've seen so many times jealousy hurt relationships. I dealt with a man some time ago. He was so jealous of his wife, why she'd go to Kmart. He wondered who she was going over there to see. And I mean, the woman couldn't do one simple thing. And finally, when the truth of the matter came out, he had been having an affair on her. It wasn't so much that she didn't love him. It was that he did not love her. And you see, jealousy is the opposite of love. And so may we recognize this morning, jealousy is not a moderate sin. By the way, there's no moderate sins with God. Sin is sin. You say, well, how bad is jealousy? It was the reason for the first murder in the Bible when Cain took the life of his brother Abel. Why? Because he was jealous of Abel. So love is not jealous. And may we see this morning that if we are going to have a Christ-like and a godly love, there will be a humility about us that will be glad when others are blessed. Secondly, love does not brag. Love does not brag. It says in verse 4, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. You see, love is not conceited. And the Corinthian believers had a real problem with this. Those of you that have ever studied the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know that this is not a church to model after. And I think there are many churches today that are just like the church at Corinth, and they're so proud of it, and they don't even get it. That this church was the most messed up church in the New Testament first century church. 1 Corinthians 14:26, if you want to turn over there, here's what Paul says to them. How is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. In other words, these people were so braggadocious and so proud that they would come together. Every one of them wanted to sing a song. Every one of them wanted to give a message. Every one of them wanted to speak in tongues. Every one of them wanted to interpret. Every one of them wanted to do everything. Now, how many of you realize that if everyone in this room this morning sang a solo, it would be the opposite of worship? How many realize it could be almost just confusing if everyone said that? But that's what they were doing. Everybody came together. And they all wanted to sing. They all wanted, why? Because they were braggadocious. They were proud. They couldn't let someone else minister to them. And then notice, thirdly, love is not arrogant. The Bible says in verse 4, is not puffed up. It is not arrogant. And so oftentimes we see, even amongst Christians, an arrogant spirit rather than a humble spirit. William Carey was a Baptist missionary in India. William Carey knew 23 languages and dialects, and interpreted and translated the scriptures into those 23 languages and dialects. He was a very astute, renowned man in England during his time. And on one trip back to England, he sat at a table with a group of scholars and religious leaders. And one man said to him, I understand, Mr. Carey, that before you went to India, you were a shoemaker. To which William Carey replied, oh no, I was never a shoemaker. I was only a shoe repairman. He was a man who never attempted to build himself up into anything bigger than God had blessed him to become. You see, arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. And we see the humility of biblical love is that it vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. So we see that biblical love is helpful. We see that biblical love is humble. Thirdly, biblical love is holy. The holiness of biblical love. There's something very sacred about agape love. It's the total opposite of eros, erotic behavior. It is something so holy and special that this world doesn't even recognize it. The Bible says in verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Very quickly, this love is a love that does not behave unbecomingly. It does not behave, as it says here, unseemly or rudely.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now in the privacy of your own heart to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chapel and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chapel's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chapel. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.